All right, welcome back into Mining Stock Daily, everybody. We're going to continue. It's a little bit of a kind of market analysis and corporate update here today. We're happy to welcome in Stephen Stewart. He is the guy over at Ore Group, and he's also a director at Awale Resources. We continue to try to find time with Andrew Chubb, CEO of Awale Resources. That will happen in due time. I mean, obviously, it's he's probably been bombarded with a number of phone calls. Stephen, what do you think? The banker calls are up to about 20, 25 just this morning?
Yeah, well, look, Andrew's very popular today. And it's so well deserved. He's such a he's a great guy. He's a real nice guy, you know, and he's a brilliant geologist. And the more I've gotten to know him over this past year, the more I feel stronger about that view. And look, the drill results are starting to prove it, because that does take time. But yeah, he's super busy. He definitely wants to come on your show. I know that, but hopefully I'm a decent replacement. Certainly not good enough for those who want to hear all about Awale, but look, I'll have to make do.
Yeah, well, let's get us maybe some background here, Steve. Let's talk about Ore Group and their involvement in Awale. Kind of give us that background, how it came to be. You're obviously a director, so there's a lot of things you probably cannot share, but I do want to know just kind of why Ore Group decided to kind of take a significant position in this company, since it had a massive transition.
Sure. Well, look, to be specific, Ore Cap, which is the really public company expression of Ore Group. Ore Group is private. I'm the sole shareholder. Ore Cap, which is OCI on the venture, made the investment into Awale a little less than a year ago. And I personally, along with Charles, who's also a director on Awale with me, co-invested. And that's what we do with all of our Ore Cap investments, is we write our own personal check alongside to show that, look, you know, we're putting our own personal money where investors' money are, and so far that's turned out quite well. We've made some really great investments. But it was the story of Awale goes back to a couple fellow shareholders, a gentleman by the name of Devrim and another gentleman by the name of Vukasin, and very, very smart guys, and they've been shareholders of other Ore Group companies, and they put Awale on my radar, said, you need to take a look at this. The company was sort of facing tough times. I mean, the industry was facing tough times a year ago, and we're still not out of the water with the industry, but that's another story. But look, they had specific, not just macro issues, specific issues, and one was money, and two was some management changes that needed to be made. So we took a look based on the advice of those two guys. We took a look, and I showed it to Charles. And Charles is a key man at our group. But more importantly, Charles spent 6 years as the head of Miranda down in Brazil, where that was the era in the 90s, the era of the Carajás, and big IOCG deposit. So he's very familiar with that style of deposit. And of course, that is the vision that Andrew Chubb, the CEO, or he was then the COO, but now we promoted when we came on, we promoted Andrew Chubb as the key man, made him the CEO. His vision was, this is a new IOC district in Côte d'Ivoire. And of course, if you go back, you know, to the days of Pangaea, Côte d'Ivoire used to be, you know, together with Brazil. So it sort of made sense, at least to the layman like me, but I had Charles to verify. And Charles instantly, after an hour of talking with Andrew and another one of the directors at the time, Eric Roth, we were convinced, certainly Charles was, and Charles, again, put his money right where his mouth was. So just, he and I put together, I think, $250,000 personally into this. So Charles verified what Andrew saw, and frankly, so did Newmont, all right? So Newmont was there before us. So Andrew had this vision of what he saw in Côte d'Ivoire. He managed to convince Newmont, the world's largest gold miner, who I'll remind your viewers, don't care for small projects. Very sophisticated group, and saw what Andrew saw, or was led to believe that Andrew had, was onto something. And again, Charles confirmed that from our side. And then slowly but surely, he's been proving that, or at least backing it up with really, really good drill results. We had some good results out last year, and then January on the BBM zone, we came out with some great results. And honestly, the market just wasn't there. Great results, excellent results. And then we just sort of went up and went down just like every other junior. And then we followed that up with results last week on the BBM zone, which is a unique style of mineralization relative to today's news release on Charger. Again, there's multiple zones. Andrew's made four grassroots discoveries on this project, and they're all different zones, but we think they're all connected, and that's the real prize. But so we started to get traction last week with the BBM. I think they had 74 meters at 2.4 grams gold, and then three other intersections that were quite meaty as well that sort of didn't get enough attention because everybody saw that headline. But like, there was four excellent holes in the BBM zone. And then, of course, this morning we released just a, you know, an absolute monster at, I think it was 42 grams over 32 meters, something like that. And I'll, you know, to emphasize how interesting that hole is that it's not, we didn't hit a nugget, okay? Andrew lists the per meter intersections there, and it's nicely disseminated throughout. So it's a very wide zone, incredibly high grade, and it's pretty shallow. I mean, it's certainly open pittable. I think vertical depth, it's about 100 to 110 meters. I think it starts at 165 meters down hole. And it's in a breccia pipe, and it's the third breccia pipe we've discovered. I think we hit the other ones earlier that year. We hadn't seen those grades yet, but we were getting 100 gram meter intersections off the other two brushes, but we hadn't hit this one, certainly not this zone. And I think it's because he spinned the drill around. And so we're just, you know, we're getting to learn the system here. It's early days, and that hole certainly gives us a lot of encouragement. And I think Andrew's phone has just been ringing off the hook ever since. So it's exciting, and ORCAP, you know, is a material shareholder. We've got, I think, 13.5% of the common shares plus a huge slug of warrants at 20 cents, which are now well into the money. So
your equity is up, what, about 35% this morning on the Venture Exchange. It's traded on OCI. So people who are interested can take a look at that. I mean, that's obviously another way you could perhaps play this if you were so interested. And I may say, I should say, just to be transparent, I actually bought a walleye last week in that news of that, those really good drill. I mean, it was enough for me to take a position. In fact, I tried to get in at 20 cents and came to realize that wasn't going to happen. So up my bid a little bit, but I'm trying to take some of my own personal capital off right now, although that bid's not being picked up. Maybe get a little bit greedy. So just want to say I am a shareholder of a walleye here, but I do want to, I want to ask you, Steve, just kind of about, you know, it's been a long year coming. And in fact, in 2023, we saw discoveries getting, real meaningful discoveries getting rewarded by the market. Maybe the market kind of dusted off those first drill results in 2023, but it wasn't until the last couple of weeks where the market really started taking notice with these meaningful drill results. Where is the company as far as more assays pending? And it sounds like they're looking to get back onto the ground in April.
Yeah, well, look, just, you know, a final note on that news release. Again, like the news release that came out on BBM last week when Andrew sent that through, and he happened to be in town. And so he was working out of my office just down the hall, and he sent it to me, and I usually edit these things and give him my 2 cents. And I said, geez, that looks like a mine. Like, that's a start of a mine. That's a really interesting stuff. And then we went out for lunch, and that's when he told me about Charger. It just came in on his phone, and honestly, the smile across that guy's face was almost as wide as that intercept. When he just said, "Oh, we've got like a 1,500 gram meter intercept," so he was thrilled, and he is so well deserving. And I got lost track. Where I went off on a tangent there. Where do you want me?
Plans for more news coming down the pipe.
No, more news. Okay, so where's back to a wallet? Back off my anecdote, I just wanted to share that because Andrew's such a good guy. We've got more news coming out on a zone called Lando. Okay, so again, there's multiple zones on the Odeane project, which all need to come together. So I think we are anticipating additional results on the Lando. I'm not sure when those are coming due, but I suspect they're forthcoming. And then you're absolutely right. We're getting back out there and drilling right away in April, which is, I guess, sometime in April, like weeks away, we'll be back out there drilling. I'll remind everybody that Newmont has committed a, I think it's about $5 million Canadian worth of drilling on the ODNA, not out of our treasury, for 2024. So that's 25,000 meters that we're going to be putting on ODNA this year. And with respect to Newmont, to get a lot of questions about that particularly today, they have the land package that Owale has is 25,000 square kilometers, which is massive, huge. And when you know, so if Andrew was right, he wanted to be really right. So if this is a district, we have the district. We're first movers, certainly in that interpretation. And Newmont has their joint venture on 30% of the claims, meaning 70% of 25,000 square kilometers is 100% Owale. And so the idea has always been to leverage Newmont's interests, Newmont's balance sheet for our shareholders' benefit, to prove that this is an IOCG system and this is a new district. And then, of course, we've got 70% of the district. So that's the plan, and that's working out pretty well for us so far.
So has these latest drill results been on that Newmont JV?
Correct. They're all on Newmont. So all this stuff is on Newmont's JV ground.
Okay, I just want to clarify that. Steve, let me ask you about ORCAP here, which is fascinating because you invested in Owale at $1.5 million back in April last year. So you bought 12.5 million shares. Obviously, you're doing really well with that position. What is the, tell me about what you do with this. So what is kind of this holding company's, how does it trade in and out of positions? Does it trade in and out of position? Is this the long haul? I mean, if you and I could have a conversation, over a beer and say, well, if you're up this meaningful, you should take some money off the table. I mean, is that something ORCAP does?
Well, we're not in the business of collecting share certificates. So we're in the business of, and we're not a holding company per se. I know that that's how people could view us, but ORCAP builds companies. That's how I define it. And we use its capital to take positions in assets or companies and help them grow. We're not a fund, okay? So I don't compete with the big funds of the world. That's not our business. We don't give people $1.5 million and say, good luck to you. Let us know how it goes. We're directly involved, which is evident with our participation in Owale, and we're on the board. Fully diluted, we're the largest shareholder. So ORCAP's business model is about taking calculated risks in undervalued situations, showing them love, supporting the right people, putting the right people in place, like we did with Andrew Chubb. It was a non-starter for us. It was a requirement for us for Andrew to be elevated to CEO. In that situation to have the right guy in the spot, just so we get behind the right people and we help them finance. And that's something that we're really, really good at. We've raised an awful lot of money over the past 2 or 3 years. We've done a lot of joint venture agreements, and I've just been around the block, and my team has been around the block. So we bring a lot of corporate and technical expertise to the situation, and I think there will be a time when we harvest some of our gains, in whether that's American Eagle, whether that's Owale or other companies, and then we recirculate it into other opportunities. For example, cuprum. Cuprum means copper in Latin. So Cuprum Corp is our latest vehicle. It's private. Cuprum owns 100% of the Thierry Mine, and the Thierry Mine is Ontario's largest copper resource, which we acquired at the end of last year out of a distressed situation. Somebody who had debt. We bought the debt and effectively forced the sale of a non-core asset from a company, and we own this thing outright. ORCAP is the vastly majority shareholder, controls the board, and controls everything through contractual rights of first refusal and et cetera, et cetera. And we will be moving that forward through the going public process. It's ready to go. We got our 43-101, we'll shortly announce new leadership in that, and we'll put that through the process just like we did with American Eagle. We've done that with QC Copper. We've done that with a number of vehicles. So that's the model, and there's no set way. I mean, again, Owale is a little bit different. We took an equity position, whereas in Cuprum, we bought the asset. So there's you have to be flexible, but it starts with us trying to identify an asset that we like, that we think is offers good value, oftentimes have problems because, look, if it doesn't have any problems, we can't afford it and there's no value to be realized, but problems that we think we can solve with expertise, time, and money. And so we'll insert ourselves there, reposition it, finance it, put the right people in place, and then support it and watch it grow and then wait. And I think a core principle of us is, you know, like, we definitely want to retain long-term upside exposure when we believe in something. And honestly, we don't write checks into something we don't believe in. And I write my personal checks alongside ORCAP. So we have a long-term view. We definitely have a long-term view. Now, we may want our money back. I think that's a core principle to ORCAP, is like, you know, get your money back so it's nothing but upside. That's what I love, nothing but upside. And which is something that I often practice in my own personal portfolio.
Steve, what's your position on kind of media and promotion? I know this is always a funny question to ask, especially on my podcast. but I, you know, with these companies, you know, leading up to it, I guess, you know, anecdotally, I will say, I kept on hearing kind of rumblings about a Wale for the last couple of weeks, right? And so I kind of questioned, like, well, why am I hearing this now? And it's not, you know, a lot of companies do. Like, I hear a lot of rumblings before news actually hits the market. And I kind of question, like, oh, well, you put your ear low enough to the ground, you're going to hear these things. But what is kind of your position and your thoughts on promotion and media of companies kind of leading up to this discovery news to, like, make sure that people are paying attention before that big news item hits? How do you manage that?
Well, it's absolutely critical. I'm a firm believer in promotion, but doing it the right way. There's many ways to promote one's business. Our business is infamous in some respects for promoting the wrong way. We try and take great care in doing it the right way, so that you don't get a 2 week or 2 month bump, and then you do a financing, and then you pull the budget off these, you know, promos, and, you know, we don't, again, we take a long-term view, but a part of that is communication, and we take great effort in doing that, and we do a lot of it ourselves. So I would say the ORG group is kind of vertically integrated into our approach, into how we not just acquire businesses, but managing them going forward. We spend a lot of time and effort ourselves and building up, I think, YouTube video content is really important. So we try and get in front of the camera and communicate clearly. Now, nobody's listening, and certainly nobody's been listening unless you have results to back that up. So you need something interesting to talk about. But even when there isn't sexy results, we do take great care to communicate with shareholders. I think the and if you go back, it's funny. I just watched the other week, my wife reminded me, like, we as a group were one of the early movers on using video as a medium to communicate. And if you go back onto our YouTube channel, you'll see me in my condo, you know, probably 6 years ago, speaking to the camera.
I remember.
Very awkward.
I remember, Steve.
I don't say nobody was doing that, but, like, not, you know, there weren't many people, and certainly nobody I can identify who was doing that sort of thing. And the idea was, like, for every news release, we should have a video. And so it didn't really gain a whole lot of traction, but, like, we were just trying to innovate. And then COVID hit, and now everybody does it, and it's sort of ubiquitous. And it really has changed the game, for better and worse, but for better in the sense that it's so easy to communicate now, and it's scalable. So we can produce a video effectively at a marginal, you know, unit cost of zero, and get 1,000 views in 2 days. Whereas before, I'd have to travel the world and, you know, leave my family and spend a bunch of money and talk to people and buy them wine and sandwiches, and 90% of the time they don't care. So this makes it scalable, easier, more reachable to people who actually want to invest their time to hear your story. So the flip side, and why I say it's good and bad, and the bad is that it's still so important to make the face-to-face connection. It's intangible. So, like, I just went to Zurich, which is very, you know, nice place to be for sure, for a lot of reasons. But it's a big fancy conference. And I don't know if I made any impacts on any investors. I certainly tried, but really just to sort of be there and be there with my peers, and it, offers tremendous intangible value there. So I think it's important to have a good mix of in-person, but certainly right now we're heavily focused on the video to promote our industry, just like McDonald's, pays for TV spots to sell their hamburgers. We have to sell our products too. We have to inform the public.
Yeah. My last question is, maybe it's a little bit more of a professional profile question, but it's been a pretty good 3 months for you. ORCAP. I mean, you look at your portfolio here. I mean, we just talked about a Walleye Resources. That's been, eight bagger by now, at least. American Eagle, that's had tremendous success, not only in exploration, but market recognition as well. There's a couple other companies within that portfolio that obviously has tremendous potential. And you and I have talked about QC Copper and Gold and Mustango in conversations past here, Stephen. I know it wasn't always seemed like it was this easy. You and I have known each other for a number of years, and I'm sure there was times you wanted to go bury your head in the sand. But right now, the sun's shining pretty bright. I guess general question, you look back the last couple of years, I mean, talked about those trials, tribulations, and, as of right now, it's looking pretty good, but you never know what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, well, look, admittedly, today's a good day, and it's exciting, and they're rare days. But I try not, it doesn't get to me too much, just like being kicked in the teeth, which, we're used to. I don't let that get to me too much either, although that's never enjoyable, right? So it's like, don't let the highs get too high and the lows too low. So it's a very volatile business. Try not to let it go to your head. But today's a great day. It's been a great time for OR Group, OR Cap, and all of our companies. Some are up and some are down, and that's why we have a portfolio, because it's hard. You have one company, it's feast or famine sometimes, right? So we have a diversified approach, although we stick to core principles, and it's been fun. But at the end of the day, look, my family doesn't love me any more or any less whether I'm successful or failure. So I try, and that's my motto. But I do enjoy the success of my team. Like you mentioned, American Eagle has been amazing. I'm so happy for Tony, who's a young CEO. That's part of our group, is a really young. I love young, hungry CEOs, like first times, like Andrew Chubb, Jamie Spratt at Mustango. We just hired him. James Sykes at Baseload, Tony Moreau, so all these are first timers, and then we like to pair them with gray hair geologists, so you get a good mix, and I love watching them progress, and I love being able to counsel them and give them my opinion for better or worse, and we fight for the best product, right? If I give my ideas and I'm not shy, but if they have a better one, come to the table and prove me wrong, and the best idea wins. So that's what gets me excited, is really building businesses, putting the right people in place, and watching their success.
Right. Stephen, thanks so much for your time. Job well done. I know it wasn't always appeared this easy, but we'll touch base again. I know there's a number of companies out there that continue to do good work, and congratulations. Enjoy this week.
I appreciate it, Trevor. Thank you for your time.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.